Ashley Campbell, Orange County Conservative, as we get closer and closer to the 5 o'clock hour and the end of the year. How are you? Merry Christmas.
I'm good. Thank you. Yeah. Merry Christmas to you.
I don't think I'm going
to
see you again until next year either. So Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Right. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
The year went fast, right?
Yeah. It really, really did. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Every year. Faster
yeah, I know. It's
getting
faster and faster. Yeah. Well, you had a baby this year, so that's does that make it go faster or slower?
Oh, good question. I think
both.
A little bit of both. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that last month of pregnancy, time just stands still, and then once you have the baby, it's gone by so quickly. Yeah. But it's all good.
So earlier today, or I guess ongoing right now, the House and Senate are voting on the tax bill. House voted yes earlier. Senate's talking about it now. We talked about taxes 2 weeks ago. So moving to other issues that are equally worth our attention, of which there are many. One thing that we wanted to talk about before and didn't get a chance to was the Masterpiece Cake Shop Supreme Court case that the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in earlier this month, expected to get a ruling sometime first couple of months of next year thereabouts.
Right.
This is the cake bakery in Colorado that refused to bake a cake for a same-sex marriage that was happening in violation of state anti-discrimination law, and then makes the free expression / religious freedom argument. Two different arguments, and you can go with one or the other at the Supreme Court.
Right.
So thoughts on this case?
Well, it's a big deal. It's a big case. I think that I listened to your interview with Lydia Lavelle, mm-hmm. Mayor Carbro, of course, and the two of you talked about this I think a couple of weeks ago, and she mentioned that it was not on the radar for a lot of people, and it's probably not for your average American.
Right.
I wish it was. But I don't know if perhaps it's been on the conservative radar more so than people who are more left of center or not. But I feel like I've seen it mentioned everywhere. Like it is a big, momentous decision that could have far-reaching implications one way or another.
Yeah, this is one thing that we've sort of talked about off-air, and I mentioned it to Mayor Lavelle on the air, that it's a decision that could be a big, big sweeping decision either way, and that is something that you always have to worry about when it comes to the Supreme Court.
Like,
to the extent that we care about democracy, we want the Supreme Court to have a very light touch, and that's definitely the case here, because you want the Supreme Court to end up with a decision that doesn't necessarily overturn decades of anti-discrimination law, as it certainly could if it makes a ruling that's really sweeping that direction. If it makes a ruling that's sweeping in the opposite direction, then you end up with a situation where people don't feel like they're allowed to live out their convictions. They can think what they want as long as they don't act on it, and you don't want them to go too far in that direction either. So
I think
it's a tough tightrope.
It is, and I think that the crux of the issue seems to be that, the defendant, the baker of Masterpiece Cake Shop, mm-hmm. Jack Phillips, I believe his name is, mm-hmm. Normally serves, gay, lesbian, doesn't care about your sexual orientation, and his bakery he will sell to anyone. The only thing that he objected to was creating a custom cake for a same-sex mm-hmm. wedding ceremony. And so he's basing this on his religious convictions. So that's where a lot of the argument has been made as far as the case goes in front of the Supreme Court. Which, of course, the Colorado Supreme Court ruled in favor of the Colorado Civil mm-hmm. Rights Commission and said that it was tantamount to discrimination, and so it's up to the Supreme Court to decide whether or not that is actually discrimination on against sexual orientation. So I think that the what you're saying about the anti-discrimination question is is a good one. You know, how far reaching is it going to be? And I think that the Supreme Court also has to decide, you know, is opposition to same-sex marriage just completely tantamount to discrimination on sexual orientation, in other words. So I think that, you know, I would argue that it's not unreasonable for him to, for the baker to hold the view that he does about marriage. So it's also, so you have Justice Kennedy asking these questions during the oral arguments, you know, is it unreasonable for him to hold these views? And Kennedy was asking, seemed a little bit upset over what he said was a lack of tolerance on behalf of the state of Colorado for Jack Phillips' religious views. And so, you know, I think that he was refusing to create a custom cake, as I said, that's a rainbow cake, that was going to be the design, a rainbow cake at a gay wedding. And so it's hard for me to not see that as an expression of symbolic speech. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not just food. It's not just a service. It's this baker would have to create something. He would be, you know, it's called compelled speech, I guess.
Right.
It's a common term. He would be forced to create something that would send a message that would indicate that he approves of a same-sex wedding ceremony, which he doesn't. And so, I mean, you have the religious element to it, but for me, I think the more nefarious thing is the freedom of association, which has just been eroded away since, well, pretty much the founding of the country and then the creation of the Constitution. But you know, I think that he should allowed, first of all, to be able to practice his religious beliefs, and to the extent, you know, this goes for anyone, to the extent that it doesn't infringe on anyone else's rights. But also, he shouldn't be forced to create anything at all for any reason. I mean, to be, that's compelling labor, and forcing him to express a belief that he does not share. So,
well, then where would you draw that line then, I guess? Because on the one hand, you can sort of carve out a particular exception for artistic expression, right? And this is one of the arguments that's being made at the Supreme Court, that Jack Phillips is sort of acting as an artist here, and
right.
Artists have a freedom of expression that, like, you know, someone brings their car into a mechanic and he says, well, my artwork with this car is, you know, not something, or you go to Subway and they're a sandwich artist or something along those lines, isn't the same thing. But then where actually is that line? Who gets to determine what is art and what is not? What is expression and what is not?
I don't know. I quite honestly, I mean, that's something I could research more as far as why it's important to the argument one way or the other, as if this person qualifies as an artist. I mean, I don't understand why it's this preference is given to one profession or one group of people as to whether they can have freedom of expression more so than any other individual.
Well, that's the initial argument that Jack Phillips is making,
oh,
right?
No,
that
I
if
know.
Someone comes
yeah.
in and they're gay, I'll make you a cake, I just won't make you this cake. What, by
right.
that reasoning, is to stop him from saying, oh, you come in and you're gay, I won't make you any cake at all?
Well,
because that's the sweeping decision that
yes.
I think the Supreme Court should be actively trying to avoid.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think that he is not seeking... I don't, from what I've read of the case, he doesn't seem to be seeking that kind of decision at all, though. He's not saying that the state of Colorado, or in fact the country needs to really redefine the definition of marriage to just be between a man and a woman, even though that is what he, Jack Phillips, believes. He's not asking for that. He's just saying that he doesn't want to participate in a same-sex marriage ceremony, you know, as a private individual. And so he's, you know, he's, and that's a distinction that I think gets lost in some of the discussion about this case, because people are, who are find themselves on the side of the plaintiffs will bring up, well, this sounds a lot like, you know, interracial marriage, mm-hmm. you know, those sorts of court cases that were during the civil rights era, you know, mid 20th century, and were ultimately decided in the courts. But that is, the bans on interracial marriage, I would say, are different from this case completely. I find this comparison is really disingenuous, because the ban on interracial marriage was part of a government mandated program of racial segregation, mm-hmm. and was designed to make, you know, African Americans, other people of color, to feel separate, you know, separate from white people. And this is a private individual with his private business is not telling, it's not saying that any laws should be reversed, that any, you know, what's currently under Colorado law should be changed as far as marriage goes. He's just saying that he doesn't want to participate in a same-sex marriage, you know, as, you know, yeah, right, like he said, right. Based on his profession as an artist, you know, I think that there are bigger implications here. I don't think necessarily there should be an exception carved out as an artist or not.
But. So I think the comparison, and I think you're right there, that the comparison between this case and like the Loving v. Virginia case, is not correct. I think what would be correct would be, and there were these cases in the 70s, about 10 years after the Loving v. Virginia was handed down, striking down the ban on interracial marriage, so a black and white couple can get married. But then you have cases 10 years later where you have individuals who say, I have a religious objection to this wedding, I'm not going to participate in it. And those cases went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, no, that's, your religious objection doesn't extend to discrimination on these grounds. That's not a good enough reason. And I think that's a valid comparison to make.
Right. No, and I mean, I don't want to get too far in the weeds here, but, you know, my personal feelings on marriage and the role of government in marriage is that government just has too much to do with marriage, period, in our nation and probably everywhere. because it, you know, it's basically whether you're gay or straight or whatever, you know, you have to go to the government to get a license. You have to ask the government permission to get married.
Which is a real comical ceremony, by the way. Yeah. I just have to. I know more about this now because Brad and I are going through this, and it's like, it's a really interesting thing to go through, to go to the Register of Deeds office and have that done.
Right. No, it yeah.
I'm also going to find out about filing taxes next year, how different that is. We'll
right. It's not that different.
Okay.
But, still. I know what you mean. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, but getting right to the point about the license, I mean, you have to ask government permission to enter into what is essentially a private contract with another person. And anybody who's been divorced knows it's a contract. I've been there. So that's what it ultimately comes down to. And, you know, I think that you'd have to back up to that, to have any sort of moral or really, you know, intellectual consistency, because I get, you know, people can argue for religious reasons whatever view that they want to hold. I mean, I'm sure that there were people who argue that they can't participate in interracial marriges, you know, as a private vendor or something like that, a baker, I guess, due to religious beliefs. And I think that the Supreme Court probably, or, well, certainly rightly held that that wasn't a valid basis for discrimination, because that hasn't been for forever, I guess you could say, in regards to marriage, where it's traditionally, I shouldn't say forever, but traditionally in our culture, it's been between a man and a woman. So it's not unreasonable to hold the belief that that's the definition of marriage. In my opinion, it hasn't been traditionally that that races must be kept separate by marriage. That was a government-forced program, but throughout human history, that hasn't been the case at all. But that's where it gets really tricky, because you have the government saying, you know, what the definition of marriage is, and who gets to participate in it, which I find problematic, for starters. So, I mean, well, where we're at now with this case, I mean, it seems like for anti-discrimination laws, which are important, I think that they're ideally designed to serve as a shield, where and the plaintiffs in this case are seeming to use it more as a sword to try to restrict people who have certain, you know, genuinely held convictions to conform or to change their behavior to conform with what they think should be what values our society should hold, and that is the ideal outcome for them. So, you know, I think that even if it's a minority opinion, those people who hold it shouldn't, you know, unless they're infringing on another person's rights, don't necessarily, it shouldn't necessarily be forced to, in this case, create a cake to be forced to labor in a for a cause that they don't believe in, or participate in a ceremony that they don't feel is something that they believe in.
We got to wrap up. I think shields look like swords in the right light. I think it's a shield that they're trying to make people think is a sword.
Could be, but. You know, and I think that some of that just goes back to some of the rhetoric that the plaintiffs had. And so, you know, but that's not the whole picture.
We're getting on to the end of the hour, so we got to wrap up. Ashley Campbell, thank you so much. Merry Christmas. And
All right.
We'll see you next year.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.